I'm looking at dude.
That mention faith in this video that we used to introduce this morning. And I'm going to be talking about faith, and most of us think about saving faith when we get saved. But I want to talk about building your faith muscles beyond salvation. In other words, we're going to deal with salvation in the weeks to come, and I'm going to be talking about some of the words that are in the passage in Romans chapter 3, and that's going to be the heart of the text, Romans 3. But I want today to use a verse to start with. It's Hebrews 11:1 instead of 1:1, as I show you there. And I want to use that verse because it's so important in describing what faith does. My apologies, I took you to the wrong place there. Okay, Hebrews 11:1 gives us the basis, the starting point for understanding faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I wonder if you are like me in that you have times when you doubt, when there isn't faith, or when you don't have enough faith, or if there are times when you question, do I fit in? You question, did I reach God's level, or do I satisfy God with my commitment? Am I living enough for Him? Do I fit into the church or do I fit into the crowd? I came to this country as a 15-year-old, having been raised in what's called a third culture, meaning my parents were from one culture. I was living in a different culture in the Latino world and having this in-between third level or third culture mindset. It took me a while to become an American, to adapt to the American culture. And I remember feeling that I had to fit in. I had to learn the jokes. I had to learn the humor. I had to learn the culture. I had to learn what was appropriate and not appropriate. I had to learn the kinds of things you can talk about and the kinds of things you can't talk about in culture, because there's a difference between the cultures in our world. And maybe you have felt out of place. I think all of us at different times walk into a new situation or a different place in life, and we don't know how to behave. We don't know how to act. We haven't been there before, and we aren't sure what it takes to fit in. Now, faith is being certain and sure of what we hope for, the Scripture says. So there's a level of assurance. There's a level of confidence. There's a level of knowledge you can have that your faith is pleasing to God. Now, that's the level of being saved, and we're going to talk about that in weeks to come. But today I want to talk about your faith muscles in different ways and how you begin to develop faith muscles in other areas of life. And so we're going to look together at Romans chapter 3, and this is really the text that I'll be reusing in the weeks to come. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify, This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. 120 words, 10 of them are righteousness, justice, and faith. And so those are big terms that we're going to begin to talk about next Sunday. More, I want to spend time today on the word faith. And the word faith, and what does it mean? Hebrews 1 tells us it's being sure of what we hope for. Now, here's the problem you have and I have. There's a lot of things we hope for. There's a lot of things. I hope our team will win, or I hope the weather is good, or I hope that tomorrow's a better day than today, or I hope the paycheck comes through, right? And I hope it's bigger than all the bills that come through. Somebody say amen. Amen. Yeah. And so faith is confidence in what we hope for. But hope in that sense is wishy-washy. We don't have any control. We don't have any say. In the New Testament, the word hope is always built on a solid rock. In other words, it's not a vague hope. It's a certainty. It's built on what Jesus has done. Our hope is built on Jesus' blood and righteousness, the hymn says. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Jesus, in His miracles, in His teaching, in His authority, in the way that He lived His life, proved that He was the Son of God. Over and over, Scripture says, this we testify to you according to the witnesses, or we are witnesses, meaning in a court of law, what we tell you would stand up because we have witnesses and we can authenticate and we can verify what we say. We can authenticate the word of Jesus. It is trustworthy. You can believe it. You can have confidence. It's a hope, not in I hope we win sense, but hope in the sense that I know it is true. Amen. I know it's fixed. I know it's provided for me. And so that's the hope that we live by, a solid rock, the assurance that God has never broken a promise that He makes. He's kept every promise, and He always will. In fact, the word that links there naturally is righteousness. Righteousness, the righteousness of God, Paul says in Romans, is what assures us, is what we can trust God for. Now, that's a big word, and it means right action. God doing what is right. It's not one of His attributes. It's who He is. He is righteous. He always acts consistent to His nature. How I wish that was true of us, don't you? I mean, you know, there are times we are inconsistent, and that's a difficult thing for many of us, and we have to work at that. When the Bible speaks of hope, it is referring not to a desire for a future outcome that is uncertain, rather a desire for a future outcome that is absolutely sure. You can bank on it. Not because I said so, not even because the church said so, and really beyond the Bible you can count on it because God said so, and you can count on His word. R.C. Sproul's written a book entitled, What is Faith? And in the book he says, when the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, it is speaking of something that has weight or significance, something of extreme value. The implication is that faith communicates the essence of hope. In other words, hope is sure and fixed, and our faith in our hope communicates something that is sure, something that is certain, something that is of great, great value. We're going to talk about that value in time to come, but I want to today begin to talk to you about this anchor of hope that we have. Hebrews 11:19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and sure. Why is faith secure, and how is it sure? How do we have that? Well, here in Romans, if we go back to the first part of Romans, it says, "For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." So what Paul is saying here is that God's righteousness, right action, his right plan for our lives has been revealed. And we can know this plan. We can live right. We can live to the full measure of what God expects of us. Probably the most cruel or most difficult relationships to live with are the ones where you don't know what's expected of you. I'll never forget, I had a class. It was a practice class, a doing class in seminary. And the teacher was a part-time teacher, so I couldn't really blame him. But at the end of the first quarter, he came in to grade me on what I'd been doing, and he laid out all these rules and all these standards that I'd never heard of before and measured me against them. And of course, I didn't measure up very well. And I wanted to say, why didn't you tell me at the beginning what you expected? You see, that uncertainty, we don't like that uncertainty of not knowing we measure up. And I believe that Satan would like nothing more than to keep you in that uncertainty while Jesus calls you into the light, into the full light of his certainty, that your faith can be certain, it can be secure, that it is a righteousness that God gives us. It is a righteousness of hope, not in the sense of maybe it's true, but hope in the sense we know it's true because of what it's based on, because of God's righteousness for us, his essential characteristic. He is always right. He is consistent with his character, and he does what is right. Now, here's what I want to say about expectations and God's expectation. There is nothing he expects of you which he hasn't revealed to you. In other words, what the Bible intends for you to do and to be is complete and full. There won't be a gotcha moment when, oh, well, you didn't read the fine print, or, oh, you didn't understand, or, oh, you owe more than you could pay. No, God doesn't have those kinds of plans. His righteousness is fully revealed in Jesus Christ. And when you walk by the Spirit, you are led by the Spirit, and you are conforming to the fullness of the righteousness of God for you. Now, those are big words, and I know I get to play with them all the time, and so I'm a little more comfortable than you might be with them. But here's what it's saying. It's saying that we can be assured that we are pleasing to God. We can have victory in our spirit, in our heart, is how the old timers would say it. We can have a confidence that we are pleasing to God with our lives and that he has given his life to us in fullness. Apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known. What Paul is saying here is that we don't have to go back to the Old Testament law. Now, when we say Old Testament law, there's many things that we could mean. There's about 40 different definitions of law in the book of Romans alone. So you're going to have trouble getting the right definition there. Let's just look at law as being all the ceremonial law, all the cultural law, all of the expectations God had of the Jewish people in the Old Testament. Paul says a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known. So you don't have to worry about all the sacrificial system, all the cultural rules and norms, because in Christ Jesus we have God's law for us, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. God gives you his righteousness when you by faith receive him. Isn't that wonderful to know? The full right action. You can live right. You don't have to worry, do I measure up or do I fall short? It'll be clear to you when you don't, and you can ask forgiveness. You can come back to the Savior. You can ask him to cleanse you. You can ask for power. You don't have to feel the door shut in your face. It never is. It's always open and available. I was just it was remarkable to me this week, and I was discovering it again like it was the first time when it isn't. But here where it says, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We use that verse over and over and over. In fact, we hold it over people as if they're always sinning. It doesn't say that. It says, for all have sinned. Notice it's past tense, okay? Hang with me now. Look at verse 24. And all are justified freely by His grace. All are justified freely. God offers to all His saving grace. Anyone who turns to Him can be saved. His full grace, the full righteousness of God, is offered to us through Jesus Christ. You don't have to have Christ and a bunch of laws. You just need to have Christ. You don't have to worry about all the ways in which your life falls short. You trust the Holy Spirit. He will show you, and as you obey, you will grow, and as you grow, you will become better at obeying, and your heart will conform more and more to Him. This is the walk by faith you are called to have. I was reflecting on one of the Psalms that we've read together during this season of COVID. It talks about when the mountains fall into the sea. Well, thank God none of us have seen mountains fall into the sea. So when I would read that, I'd just say, well, that's really strange. Maybe it means the end of the world when everything falls apart. But you know, that's not what it means. It's poetic language. It's saying when that which you thought was immovable would never change, changes, you can still have confidence in God. Amen. I never thought the economy could be shut down as it's been in the last few months, but it has. I never thought we'd shut the schools down, but we did. Those are mountains that I think all of us assumed would always be there. I never thought we'd have to tell people, don't come to church. It might make you sick. It's no longer the case as much as it was, and we're thankful for that. But that was a mountain that I never thought I'd see move. It crashed into the sea in some ways, didn't it? A lot of things have crashed in the last few months. And in your personal life, when things crash into the sea, God is saying, I'm still God. I'm still here. Faith is being certain in what we hope for and do not yet see. We hope for it, believing in it, because He has promised and He keeps His promise. And we can trust God's word. And so we can have faith even when things fall into the sea. Righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Right standing, right relationship, given to all. This means when we ask forgiveness, or when we confess need, or when we admit that we've fallen short or forgotten, instead of being condemned, instead of being thrown out, God draws us in and with His love forgives and heals. And He's the example. That's the kind of church we want to be. Amen. That's the kind of people we want to be. We want to make it so that when you have a need, you come to Christ and come to the church and we minister to you and Christ forgives and we forgive and we heal and we restore and we see life anew and we get up and start over and move forward rather than throw people out or throw people down. And so this right relationship, this right standing that we can have with God brings us confidence. Now, faith is being certain of what we hope for, but do not yet see. So I mentioned the mountains that fall into the sea. I mentioned the ways in which life dramatically changes. That's an area where God is calling us to strengthen our faith, to turn to Him. How about when there are relatives and friends who don't know God, who don't walk in Christian ways and are not on a path of holiness? What do we do then? God is calling us to strengthen our faith. He's calling us in those relationships to pray for those people by name and to pray for their need. It may be that we have to keep it private and confidential for obvious reasons. Not everybody needs to know. But we carry that person to God in prayer. And we ask God to give us faith to see them saved. We ask God to give us the assurance that they'll come to Christ. Many of you will remember the revival that we had with Chick Shaver last year. Dr. Chick Shaver is a man who has four grown children. He was writing to my brother. My brother had asked him the question because one of the pastors in Brazil, his son, adult son, had just announced that he was addicted to drugs and that he was in the gay lifestyle. And this pastor was asking the question, but the scripture says that if we teach children the way, they will not depart from it. In Proverbs it says that. And so how do you interpret that? How do you understand that when your children are wayward and gone? And Chick Shaver answering my brother, and my brother sent me the emails so I could read them. Chick Shaver in answering said, all four of my children walked away from God. Now think about that for a minute with me. An evangelist, a pastor who's given all his life, who taught evangelism, who has a doctorate in evangelism, has his own children turn and walk away from God. But he said all of them have come back and walked back into the fold. Now that's not a guarantee, and I'm not making the promise the same will be true for you. But what I am saying is that God's calling us to have a faith, a growing faith, a spoken faith, a faith that's part of our conversation in the life with our children that are away from God. You have to learn as a parent where you can go and where you can't go when you talk to your adult children. I'm still learning that lesson, but it's an important lesson to learn. And we can go to God in prayer at any time and say anything that needs to be said to Him. And He will hear us and He will answer. And that's one of the ways God is asking us at this time to grow our muscle of faith. Let me mention another scenario in life. Where those around you don't believe in God or don't have faith in God, or their faith is very, what we say, nominal, meaning they'll say they're Christian, but they don't live the life or don't have a testimony. You may work with these kind of people, or you may have them as neighbors or know them as friends. Here's how you begin to pray for them. You pray that God would give you the opportunity to share with them how your faith makes a difference in your life. When you share an answer to prayer, as we shared the answer to prayer in Steve Gregoire's life, where God healed him as he was in the hospital in intense pain and literally in a life and death situation earlier this year. He has a testimony that he shares. And in conversation, he was telling me about that testimony at work. See, that's the way you take your faith muscle and grow the muscle, strengthen the belief in God. Talk about it. Sometimes we're worried that we'll make promises for God that God can't keep. In other words, we overstate what God wants to do. Well, don't worry about that. God will work on that with you. But what you can do is begin to talk about God's word and God's promises in Scripture and how you believe them. And then as you plant seed. Now notice God doesn't say we smother them with unending conversation. He says we plant seeds. What does that mean? You wisely and prudently pick the moments to speak just enough to make them hungry or thirsty. We're called to be salt, aren't we? We're called to be salt and light. And part of the prayer that you pray when you pray for your friends and relatives that don't know Jesus is, Lord, show me the opportunities to speak. Show me the opportunities to be the example. Not all the time, not in everything, not in all the conversations, but at the right time, in the right way. You see, coming to Jesus isn't one decision. For most of us, it's many decisions to go in the right direction. Bringing someone to Christ isn't just an overnight. In most cases, it's a process of time that we have to be teaching and living and testifying and praying and trusting and watching and waiting till they're ready, till the fruit is ripe, is the terminology the Bible uses for the harvest. And so you stay with it. You grow the muscle of faith. I believe by faith God is going to bring people. I've been reading a book on growing our church and growing the Sunday school. There are many books on that. But in this particular book, it talks about the expectancy that we need to have. We need to expect that new people will come to church. Amen. And if we expect them, we need to have the place looking really good, really fixed up, really in first-class order. We've got a ways to go. We're working on that. But even more importantly, our attitude and our desire to welcome and make people feel at home needs to be obvious. One of the illustrations that's often used is when you're going to have company in your home. You dust things that haven't been dusted in all their lifetime. You put away things that you use every day, but they're not appropriate to have out. when company comes. You make everything look good, and mom and dad threatens the children within an inch of their lives if they misbehave or say something they shouldn't say or do something they shouldn't do. Well, we won't go that far in church, but we'll go almost that far. We'll get the place clean, and we'll make it look right, and we'll have it open, and we'll be encouraging people. We'll be drawing people. But you know, once again, COVID has reminded us the church really is your neighbor, and you're talking to your neighbor, your coworker, and your family member, and you ministering to them. The church is really people gathered around the screens and watching when the time is right in their lives to watch. And so that's why we record these services, so that you can come back to them, or you can come to them for the first times through the week and see them and review them and listen and pray. And with faith, begin to see how God would use your life. I want to tell you something this morning that is really true. God has given each of you an ability. You say, well, Pastor, I don't preach, or I don't sing, or I can't do music. No, that's fine. Don't worry about that. But God has given you an ability. He's given you talents that you can have and use for God. They may be related to your job. They may be related to your hobby. And you can employ that hobby or that gift or that ability for God. And that's another way to grow your faith muscle. Lord, what do I have in my hands? What do I have in my life? How would you have me use it for you? That's a great prayer to pray. Because you know there's fulfillment and there's joy when you use your gift for God. I've told the story before, but wonderful lady who today is in heaven. She was one of those people in the church who never did like her pastor, and I was her pastor. And I worked hard at liking her. And one day, God gave me an insight. And he said, invite her to go with you to the nursing home in the community. We'd been asked to speak at the nursing home once a month, and I would go and preach and teach in the afternoon. And so I invited her to come with me. And then I said to her, you may want to go down the hallway and talk to people. And she began to do that. She began to pray with people, and she began to minister to people there. I left as pastor, went away, and several years went back to that church to visit. She showed up with the greatest grin on her face. I was shocked she came to a dinner in our honor, because I didn't think she would really want to honor me. But she showed up, and she was excited, and she was dying to talk to me. And so I made time. And she shared with me. She said, you know what you did? And I wondered, uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. She said, you gave me my ministry. And I said, I did? She said, yes. And I had totally forgotten. She said, I go every week now to that nursing home, and I minister to those people. I pray with them. I talk to them. And many of them were special needs people, and she found a way, and God had created her in such a way that she could minister. And it gave her a purpose in life. It gave her joy as a Christian. What I'm saying to you is God has a place where you, when you use your ability, find great joy in serving Him. And God wants to grow your faith in that area. Grow that muscle to expand, to reach out, to move beyond. We have people in the church who take courses in what they are interested in order to serve God better. We have people who study and work at learning and a discipline or a talent in order to serve God better. That's growing that faith muscle. That's saying, Lord, this may not look like church, but it's for your honor and for your glory that I do it. And so use what I do to minister to others, to touch other people's lives. Well, as I wind down this morning, I just want to ask you a couple of questions. Would you be willing to grow your faith in an area of outreach? In other words, somebody that God has been prompting you, and you think, well, I need to get the pastor here, or I need to get a small group leader here. No, God needs to get you there and use you there to minister to that person. Invite them, love them, care for them, give them food or a gift of hospitality in your home, or do something with them that they enjoy doing. Become a genuine friend. Care for them as people, first of all. And as you care for them as people, God will give you opportunities to speak to their spiritual need. Are you willing to do that? That's my first question. Are you willing to see the relationships God has put in your life as opportunities for you to express your faith, expand your faith, grow your muscle of faith in that area? The second thing I want to ask you is, are you willing to listen to what God wants to say about who to reach and how to reach them? Because here's what's exciting. Not only is it fulfilling to minister, it is also a confirmation of our faith in our hearts. When we see that God is calling us and God is using us, our faith gets stronger in our salvation. We stand on a more solid rock. We understand more fully what it means that Christ gave His life for us. Let me pray with you for a moment as we close. Father, right now, in this moment, as we're in Your presence, we give You thanks that You've gifted every believer. The Bible says that in Christ we've been given spiritual gifts. And so, Lord, I pray that we would tie our faith to our gifts. In other words, we would use our faith to strengthen our giftedness. Maybe it's a simple visit or a simple meal we prepare or dessert we bring or a coffee we share with someone. Maybe it's going out of our routine or stopping something we're already doing in order to have time to get near to someone who needs the Lord. Maybe it's a card we need to write or a call we need to make, Lord. But I pray that You would prompt memories and prompt hearts all across the internet as they listen and watch and throughout the congregation that's here this morning. Lord, show us where we can, in ministry and faith, do more and grow our muscle. Father, remind us that what we're doing isn't to grow our church or it isn't to grow our life. It's to grow Your kingdom, and You will grow Your church. But it's so that we can serve You and so we can honor You. Thank You for the reward that comes in service, the blessing that comes. These moments, would you just allow God to maybe put a face in your mind or a need in your heart that you see that you've had and you just didn't connect it to doing what God wants you to do? You just didn't see the link, but this morning you do. You'll say, Lord, before the end of this week, I'm going to take a step in that direction. Before the end of this week, I'm going to talk to this person about what You're doing in my life. I'm going to find a way to pray with this situation or for these people or for this need. Would you just be open to God in that area right now? And I'd love to hear, and your family would love to hear, and the church would love to hear how you did that, what you did. It would please God. It'd bring a smile to His face. It would affirm your faith and strengthen your stand in Christ. Lord, You use each one of us. You have us in Your vineyard to bring a harvest in. We aren't just marking time till we get to heaven. As believers, oh God, You've sent us on a mission. As You sent the disciples, You've commissioned us to go into all parts of the world to make disciples. And so, Lord, I pray this morning as we listen and as we think and pray that You would open our minds to creative possibilities, creative ways that You would speak through us and touch through us. People that maybe we've given up on, but Your Spirit would show us a new way. Perhaps people that we need to be more bold with, or people that we need to just gently love and wait. But show us, give us wisdom, Lord. Thank You that You've promised us that we can bring a harvest. And so help each one of us to be harvesters of Your kingdom, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you this week as you serve Him, and I'd love to hear the stories of what you do. Let's sing together in worship as we close out this morning.